Welcome on in to the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. The Jazz have gone through a lot of change this summer, trading away their top two stars, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. They've also traded away Royce O'Neal. And in the process of doing all this, the Jazz have added a lot of new players. There's a lot of new guys, a lot of new faces, and if you haven't really been paying attention, the names on this roster are going to surprise you. You're going to have no idea who is actually playing for the Jazz, who these guys are. And so in today's episode, what I wanted to do was basically introduce you to the brand new guys. And let you know who's going to be on this Jazz team, at least for now. There could be changes coming. Actually, there will be changes coming throughout the year. As the Jazz try to rebuild this team and head towards building a championship-level roster. So let's meet these new guys. So let's start off with the Rudy Gobert trade, since the Royce O'Neal trade did not bring back any players. So in the Rudy Gobert trade, the Jazz received Patrick Beverley. He's already been traded on to the Lakers. And from trading him to the Lakers, the Jazz got Talen Horton Tucker, like Jalen with a T, and Stanley Johnson. So first off, let's talk about Stanley Johnson. So the Jazz have too many guys on their roster right now. If they were to go into the season, they would have to have at least two less guys on their roster. Stanley Johnson is probably the most likely candidate to get cut if the Jazz don't make a trade and open up roster spots for him. Stanley Johnson will be 26 this year. He's about 6'6", 6'7", somewhere in that range, 245 pounds. He's built like a defensive end, extremely athletic, high hustle, high motor type player. Was amazing in college because he could just overpower and use his athleticism basically to his advantage in the college level. Got drafted really high, and at the NBA level, he hasn't been able to use his physical advantages to as high of a level. And so he's kind of just hung around the NBA. He's a kind of a journeyman guy at this point. Again, he brings great defense. He brings great intensity. He's still pretty young. 26 is not old, but it's not, 21, 22 like some of these other guys are. I would kind of hope that the Jazz do open up the roster spots and he finds a spot on the team. But I will tell you now, if things stay the way they are now, he is the most likely to not be with the team heading into this next season. So the other guy added in this trade was Talen Horton Tucker. Talen is, I think he's 21 right now. I'm going to be 22 later on this season. He's already played 3 years in the NBA. He was drafted at 18. He barely made the cut for being old enough to be in the NBA after playing 1 year at Iowa State. So he had to have been like young 17 when he started his first year of college. He won a championship with the Lakers in his rookie year. The 2 years after that, the Lakers did not have much depth. They didn't have a lot to go around, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And so Talen Horton Tucker got his chance to see the floor, kind of as a in a six-man type role. Last season, he averaged 10 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. The guy is a big bowling ball. He's 6'5", about 235 pounds, has extremely long wingspan. And he's a pretty good defender already. I think with his athleticism, with that body, with that wingspan, could become a very good guard defender. And in the NBA right now, everybody's looking for guys between, 6'5 and 6'9, 6'10, somewhere in that range, that can dribble the ball, that can defend, that can shoot threes. The three-pointer is his weak spot. He shot only 27% last year from three. with the Lakers. If he can get that up to even close to league average, up to 35, 36%, he could be a very good player in this league. And I know the Jazz are very excited about him, especially Danny Ainge. He's very excited about picking him up in that trade. So next from the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Jazz received Malik Beasley. Now, Beasley has been in a lot of trade rumors. I think if there is a big deal that gets done, he's probably part of it. But Beasley is going to be 25 this year. He's about 6'4", 6'5", somewhere in that range, 190 pounds. Very athletic, very good three-point shooter. Shot about 39% from three last year for the Timberwolves on, I think, eight attempts a game, which is a very high volume. Not the greatest defender, but he's athletic enough that he doesn't get beat a ton. He's just not a shutdown guy. But I kind of think if there is a big trade getting done, that he won't be on the roster anymore. But he's a guy that I would like to see with the Jazz get a chance. But at the same time, you don't want him in the way of these other young guys that the Jazz went out and got, that still need their time to develop, like Talen Horton-Tucker, and like some of the other guys we're going to talk about here soon. The next piece that the Jazz picked up from the Timberwolves was Jared Vanderbilt. This guy I am extremely excited about. Jared Vanderbilt is 6'9", about 220 pounds. He's very similar to Dennis Rodman. He's going to play defense against your best offensive player, and he's a very, very good defender at that. He can play under the basket. He can play out on the perimeter. Extremely athletic, extremely smart on the defensive end. On the offensive end, his game is definitely developing. I think if he can get to the point where he can handle the ball up top and run a little bit of pick and roll with the ball in his hands, that makes the Jazz just extremely dangerous. To where he could be the ball handler on the pick and roll and have like Lauri Markkanen or Simone Fontecchio or one of these other guys running basically a pick and pop with him. I think it could be very dangerous. I think Jared Vanderbilt's probably going to see most of his time this year at center. At least that's the way I would envision it, just because then the Jazz can run out a very versatile, very athletic offense and defense with him out there. He is apparently the guy that the Jazz have gotten the most calls on about moving him on after that trade, like they did with Patrick Beverley, how they got him in the trade and then sent him out to the Lakers. But the Jazz want to hold on to him unless they get, an offer that, blows him away, then yeah, they'll go ahead and trade him. But it sounds like the Jazz really want to hold on to him and see what they can get out of this guy. I think he's 24, 24, tw might be 25, but I think he's 24 years old. So he still has a lot of room to grow and continue to become a much better player in this league. Next that the Jazz received from the Timberwolves was Leandro Bolmaro. Bolmaro was a rookie last year. He is from Argentina. He's about 6'7", 200 pounds. He's a playmaker on the offensive end. Plays very similar to Joe Ingles, where he can run. Even though he's a bigger guy, he'll run the pick and roll. Knows how to space himself out on the floor. Very good defender, especially against smaller guys, just like Joe Ingles. The big difference between those two, though, is Joe turned himself into a 40% three-point shooter. Right now, Balmero is about 26% three-point shooter. I don't think he's ever going to get to the point where he can shoot 40%, but if he can get up to 35, 36, like Talen Horton-Tucker, he also could become a very good player in this league, a guy like Joe Ingles, where he can start some or he can come off the bench and play a very big role. I've heard people talk about how if the Jazz need to open up the roster spots, he might be one of the guys that gets sent out. As far as I know, the Jazz are very high on Balmero, and they would like the chance to develop him. So I don't know how true that is, that if the Jazz have to cut guys, that he would be one of the guys. But contract wise, it kind of makes sense. He's not making a ton of money. But he's a guy that I think the Jazz are very interested in. One of the things with this Jazz team is there's a lot of guys that are going to be either not getting much playing time, or they're going to have to play down with the Salt Lake City Stars, where it's really just up to perception on how you think about these guys. Where I could look at a guy and say, oh, he's going to be the starting shooting guard, but in reality, Will Hardy and his staff decide that he's, the fourth guard or the fifth guard, and he's going to play a lot of time with the Salt Lake City Stars. They just have an abundance of young wing-sized guys right now, which is pretty exciting. I'm hoping that they can add some more, guys in the 6'7" to 6'9" range, to really help fill out the rotation. But Leandro Bolmaro, Talen Horton-Tucker, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, all these guys, it's going to be exciting to watch how they develop, and how they fill out this roster around those guys. And then the final piece that the Jazz got from the Timberwolves in that trade, along with all the other picks as well, was Walker Kessler. Kessler was drafted this year. I think he was 22nd overall pick by the Timberwolves. He is 7'1", about 250 pounds. He was a shot blocking menace this last year at the college level. Blocked 4.5 shots per game. When he was in the game, every six shots that the other team took, he was blocking one of those. Now at the NBA level, it's going to be a lot different. The guys are bigger, they're stronger, they're more athletic. But I think he can, as he develops, he can become a guy where he can be relied on as backup center for 20 minutes a game to hold down the defense. And, if he's able to do that, that's something that the Jazz haven't had as a backup center, really ever. I mean, that's what they've been trying to find behind Rudy Gobert. They had success with Derek Favors. They had some success with Hassan Whiteside. But they haven't been able to find that guy that can really hold down the backup center spot and keep the Jazz at that really high level of defense when Gobert would come off the floor. Now, Gobert's no longer there, which means a guy like Kessler's going to get more time because they're going to be, instead of running one center for 36 minutes and then a backup for 12, they're probably going to be running, I would say, probably three centers for, equal to around equal amount of time out there. Just running guys with different strengths, different abilities. Walker Kessler, Udoka Azubuike, and Jared Vanderbilt, who we talked about earlier. And then there's some other guys that we'll talk about in a minute. So that's the end of the Rudy Gobert trade to the Timberwolves. What the Jazz got back from that. Huge return. Got a lot of picks as well. So just that one trade alone, and the trade to send Royce O'Neale to the Nets, and they got a first-round pick out of that. The Jazz already had set themselves up to be in a much different position going forward, with a lot more flexibility, a lot more young guys that they can actually try and develop and maybe be part of the next team, maybe also be sent out in trades for other picks or other young players or whatever it may be. And then about a month and a half later, close to 2 months later, we'll say a month and a half later, Donovan Mitchell finally got traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers. For all that time between Rudy Gobert getting traded, Donovan actually getting traded, it sounded like that entire time it was going to be to the Knicks. And from listening to Donovan's press conference, he thought he was heading to the Knicks as well. That trade fell through for whatever reason, and the Cavaliers stepped up and sent the Jazz a big amount of players and picks as well to get Donovan Mitchell. So in that trade, the Jazz received a bunch of picks. We've talked about that before. But they also received Colin Sexton, Lauri Markkanen, and Ochai Agbaji, which I watched an interview that he did. It's Ochai, not Oshai like I thought before. Ochai Agbaji. So first off, let's start with Colin Sexton. So Colin Sexton was a restricted free agent this year, which basically meant that if the Cavaliers wanted to keep him around, they could match any offer that another team gave them. He hadn't yet received a contract yet. So he picking him up was part of a sign-in trade for the Jazz. So the Jazz are actually the ones that are signing his contract, basically. He is signing for 4 years, $72 million, so $18 million per year, which I think is a very, very good value for Colin Sexton, especially as the cap is going to keep increasing. That 18, and you know, by that fourth year, that 18 per year is going to be the same as what paying somebody like $9 million, $10 million right now is. But Colin Sexton, I think he's a really good guy to replace Donovan Mitchell in the lineup. I would say he's probably like 75-80% of Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is a three-time All-Star at this point. I don't know if Colin Sexton is ever going to make an All-Star team, but I think he's going to get very, very close for multiple years. I think he's going to have a similar career trajectory to Mike Conley, where if he's the third best player on your team, you might be a championship level team. Just depends on what the other pieces are around him. Colin's about 6'2", 190 pounds. He is very strong and a very compact build. Extremely quick and fast. Pretty decent defender. He's not amazing, but he can get the job done there. But his main strength is his scoring ability, his ability to use his body, use his athleticism to get around guys, to create space, to hold guys off with his hips, or you know, hold them back with his shoulders. He's good in the mid-range. He's very good from three-pointer throughout his career. So he's a guy that I think the Jazz have been trying to get throughout the whole summer. I think at his best, when he's fully developed, could be 90% of Donovan Mitchell, to where, you know, Donovan Mitchell is going to make a lot more All-Star games. He's probably going to, if he stays healthy and everything, you know, keeps progressing, he'll probably end up as a Hall of Famer. Colin Sexton, I think, will end up being a guy that makes an All-Star game or two in his career, and is a fringe Hall of Famer, but probably never makes it to that high of level, but could be part of the Jazz putting together a championship level team. He also could be a guy where they develop him really well and they use him in a trade to go get a superstar level player. So next is Lauri Markkanen. It's spelled Lauri. But it's pronounced Lowry, kind of like Kyle Lowry from the Miami Heat. Markkanen is from Finland. He actually played for the Finnish team this summer in Eurobasket and dominated that. He was by far the most talented player on that team. But because he played so well, they were able to beat a lot of teams in Eurobasket that would have like, you know, 8, 9, 10 NBA players on these rosters. A lot of NBA players on these rosters. And he was able to beat a lot of them basically by himself with, you know, other pros from Finland, but that were not nearly at the same level as the teammates that, like, Rudy Gobert had with France, or that Giannis had with Greece, or Jokic had with Serbia or Doncic had with Slovenia. From what I've heard is the Cavaliers, their coaches, they're excited to get Donovan Mitchell back, but they're kind of disappointed to see Lauri Markkanen go in that trade. They felt he had a good year last year, but that he was primed to really have a big breakout year this season and really become a high-level starter, if not low-level all-star type player. He is 7 feet tall. He's about 240 pounds. He hits the three at about 40%. He's shown some ball handling abilities, and this summer he showed a lot more aggression. He was getting to the basket. He was dunking over guys. He looked stronger. He looked more aggressive on the boards. On the defensive end, he's not amazing, but he can help you guard threes and fours. Last year he played the small forward at 7 feet tall, and there's lineup combinations that I've thought of for this Jazz team where I can see him playing the small forward. So I'm excited about getting Lauri Markkanen, and I know the Jazz are too. I think they see both Colin Sexton and Lauri Markkanen as big building pieces for this next great roster. And then the final piece that they picked up from the Cavaliers was Ochai Agbaji. Agbaji is 6'6", 215 pounds, has about a 6'10 wingspan, I think is what they said, like a 39-inch vertical. So he's got the NBA body. He's super athletic. He did play 4 years at Kansas, so he is a little bit older. Knocked down the three at over 40% clip. Became a lot better in the 2-point range as well. Pretty good defender. He's going to need to improve there, but he has all the physical tools to do so. And I think when he's actually cast in the role that he's supposed to be in, he'll have more energy to put into the defensive end. He projects as a great 3-and-D type player, kind of a Danny Green, Mikal Bridges type player. And that is extremely valuable in today's NBA. And he was the 14th pick in this last year's draft. So the Jazz, without actually taking a pick in this year's draft, were able to get a lottery pick in Ochai Agbaji and 22nd overall pick in Walker Kessler. So they ended up doing pretty well there. So finally, let's talk about the guys that the Jazz added. Outside of all these trades. So first off, let's talk about Simone Fontecchio. Fontecchio is Italian. He's about 6'8", 220. Played this year for Italy in Eurobasket and was one of the big stars of Eurobasket. Had plenty of games where he averaged over 20, or he scored over 20 points, was pulling down rebounds, was playing great defense. He's a guy that comes up with steals because of his size and his basketball IQ. He is already 26, so there's not a ton of room for development with this guy. It reminds me a ton of Gordon Hayward. Just the play style, that aggressiveness. At least Gordon Hayward with the Jazz. Those last couple years with the Jazz, similar body, just really gets after it. He's a very intense player. And I think could really challenge in training camp for a starting spot with this Jazz team. When the Jazz signed him, reports came out that the Jazz felt that he was the best remaining free agent, in of all the free agents still out there. So they got a guy that they really believe in. And that, like I said, I think could challenge for a starting spot this year. Or at the very least, be a very high minutes guy off the bench. Next, we'll talk about Johnny Juzang. He was in the draft this last year, ended up going undrafted out of UCLA. And the Jazz picked him up, signed him to a two-way contract. Johnny is about 6'7", 210 pounds. He is a scorer. That's what he did at UCLA. He was their top scoring option from three, from mid-range. He likes to have the ball in his hands. Not a very good defender, but he is 6'7", so he can He can do an okay job on that end. He's a guy that the Jazz apparently were very excited about. During draft workouts, they liked him a lot. And from what I've heard, considered trading up to get into the second round to go draft him. He went undrafted, so they're still able to get him. But he'll play most of the year with the Salt Lake City Stars. They'll see what he really can be in the NBA, at the NBA level, and then be able to make a decision from there if they want to, bring him onto the main roster. The Jazz yesterday made a couple of moves, which I'm kind of glad I ended up waiting on putting this episode out, because the Jazz again added a couple guys, and so I wouldn't have had that in the episode. They have signed Cody Zeller to a training camp deal, so he's going to get a chance to go to training camp and earn a spot on the roster as a center. Now, like I said, the Jazz have too many roster spots or have too many guys at this point, so unless there's a trade made, there's not a great chance that Cody Zeller makes a roster. But I think that the Jazz are going to make at least one more trade to move off of roster spots and maybe pick up some more draft picks. But Cody Zeller is 29. He's 7 feet tall. He's a long, lengthy giraffe-like, center where he's put on some muscle throughout his career, but he's still kind of wiry. He's never gonna wow you with anything that he does. He's a pretty good athlete. He's just a very solid backup center at this point. He's a guy that if you give him 20 minutes, he'll go out there and he'll get you 8 points, six, seven boards. He'll play some decent defense. He's athletic enough to where he can, on the pick and roll, he can switch a little bit. He can at least come up to the level and then drop back. He doesn't have to just sit there and be a drop big. So as the Jazz looked at depth, looked at, just some solid veterans as mentors on this roster. He's a guy that in training camp and in the preseason is going to get an opportunity with the Jazz to possibly make this roster. And then finally, the Jazz added Micah Potter, on a two-way contract. A couple days ago, they released Xavier Sneed from a two-way contract that they had signed with him last year. And because Micah Potter had become available, Potter is 6'10", 250 pounds, and can really shoot the ball. Shot 44% from three last year in the G League. Has always been, around 40% as a center from three. He's a guy that I've seen a couple years in a row in Summer League that I thought if the Jazz needed to add another depth piece, he would be a good guy to go get. So I'm pretty excited to see him with the Jazz. Now, again, he's going to spend most of the season with the Salt Lake City Stars. If everybody stays healthy, we might not see him at all with the Jazz. But injuries happen, or maybe he has a huge breakout year in the G League and they decide to bring him up. I think he has that level of talent where he can play in the NBA. So he'll be an exciting guy to watch to see how he develops and if the Jazz decide to bring him up, and what he can add to the Jazz just being a bringing a very different skill set from the other centers that they have on the roster. But with that, that's the end of this episode. I am extremely excited about all these guys that the Jazz have added. It's gonna be fun to watch how Will Hardy and his staff evaluate these guys, how they train them up, how they help them develop, and then what off of that Justin Zanuck and Danny Ainge do with the roster to continue to build towards hopefully winning a championship at some point here in Salt Lake. But with that, again, thank you all so much for listening. Have a great day and go Jazz!